Tonight, a face-to-face confrontation on unidentified flying objects. If they exist at all, do they come from outer space? Or is belief in flying saucers simply a new form of religious faith? If UFOs do come from outer space, as one of our debaters contends, is the U.S. Air Force keeping the matter secret? If so, why? Or is this simply another example of mass self-deception based on flimsy or faulty evidence? On this program, Major Donald E. Kehoe, author of Aliens from Space, opposes Colonel William T. Coleman, former publicity chief of the U.S. Air Force. From the Yorkville Studio Theater in downtown Toronto on The Great Debate. Resolve that unidentified flying objects from outer space exist. Your chairman, Pierre Burton.
Well, almost everybody in this audience thinks that UFOs from outer space exist. The vote is 190 for the affirmative to 32 for the negative. And oddly enough, Major Kehoe, that makes your job the harder one because you have fewer minds to change. And that is the purpose of a debate.
It might be harder for another reason.
All right. We'll give you 4 minutes. We'll give your opponent six, and we'll give you two for rebuttal, and then we'll go on with the more informal aspects of our program. So would you start the clock, please, for the affirmative and Major Donald Kehoe.
For over 15 years, my honorable opponent has known that UFOs are alien spaceships. This is what brought that about. He was piloting an Air Force bomber with two crewmen aboard when a metallic circular craft came swiftly toward them. Now, I will have to give Colonel Coleman credit. In spite of possible danger, he went to full power and shot after it, thinking he might get a closer look, but within a few seconds, it was out of range. Now, this is something which should affect a man quite a bit when he's had such an experience, but it really backfired because he was, sometime after that, appointed one of the leading UFO officers in Air Force headquarters. That means he was assigned to explain away cases, and some of them didn't require much because they were fakes anyway. But back at this, there was other evidence that he learned after he became a UFO officer. He learned about General Nathan Twining's evaluation. Lieutenant General Nathan Twining was a great figure in World War II, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff later. He was then head of the Air Materiel Command, and using almost 100 experts on this command, he evaluated. The conclusion, the UFOs were real. They were not illusions. The majority of reports described flying discs, apparently metallic. They were flat on the bottom, domed on top, and they gave indications of intelligent control, either direct or remote, by the way they tried to evade approaching aircraft. Now, this is an approach, but he recommended another full-scale scientific evaluation. And in the following year, these scientists came up with a top-secret conclusion. It was called an estimate of the situation, that the UFOs genuinely reported, and there were fakes, but they discarded those, the genuine cases represented interplanetary spaceships. The chairman of this group wanted the chief of staff to make it available to the public. But General Vandenberg, who was then chief of staff, said no, he was afraid it would cause trouble. And there was one more. Major Dewey Fournay, monitor for the entire project at headquarters, came out with a still bigger evaluation after the great flap of 52. Same conclusion, interplanetary spaceships, and the public should be told. Now, since then, there have been many, many developments. The situation has grown worse because over 50% of the people in the United States, and I think in Canada, believe the UFOs are real, and by implication, they don't believe the official explanations. Well, what makes it more serious is this. There have been a number of serious cases, double serious. Anyway, one of the worst cases that happened occurred over Buffalo, Texas, when a Braniff airliner, a Lockheed Electra, was passing over the town of Buffalo, and people on the ground saw a sort of a reddish glow, and shortly after that, a flash of some kind. There was a terrific light, and the airliner disintegrated with everyone on board. The vice president of Braniff, who investigated this along with the Civil Aeronautics Board, said it was the most horrible crash he'd ever investigated. And he said the force that caused this came from outside. There was no bomb inside the airliner. So what I have been concerned about is that a sudden evaluation would startle people who firmly believed the Air Force was telling the truth. If it all came out at one time about the secret developments and the many cases, and some of them by top Air Force pilots who've been sort of ridiculed like other people, it might have a very bad after effect. And I think the public should be gradually prepared, pressing the statement home.
Thank you, Major Keogh. We'll now... give 6 minutes for Colonel Coleman and the negative.
Mr. Chairman, honorable opponent, mystery of man's origin has intrigued him throughout recorded history. He has puzzled and theorized over the question of where, when, and how he began. But man, like a detective arriving at the scene of a crime after a long, long period following the event, is sore put to arrive at conclusions that would stand up in court. Of equal fascination and wonder today is the question of whether there is life on other worlds. I support Dr. Sagan's theory that perhaps in our galaxy there are something on the order of 100,000 to a million planets in this galaxy that perhaps have some form of intelligent life. Moreover, my colleague would have you believe that this intelligent life is in fact in existence and that it has visited the Earth, and very recently, perhaps even now. The question we are exploring tonight, do they visit us or do they not? Yes or no? The general public seem to demand a yes or no answer. And that is the question, I say, cannot be answered yes or no. In the first place, you can't say no because you can't prove a negative hypothesis. And that leaves us with only the yes. And it was precisely that attitude with which the United States Air Force approached Project Blue Book. And for more, that is just the way we pursued our investigations, objectively, systematically, thoroughly, and carefully, yet with imagination, open minds. During that 20 years, we found no evidence, not an iota, that would prove or tend to prove that manned extraterrestrial vehicles under intelligent control were visiting the planet Earth. None. We also found nothing to indicate any technology beyond our current state-of-the-art or present-day knowledge. The Air Force was given the responsibility to investigate UFO sightings, and this mission was twofold. And my honorable opponent knows exactly what that mission was. Was the national security being threatened? Air defense, national security threat. Was our national security being threatened? And the second reason, do whatever possible to preclude technological surprise, whether it be from this planet or some other. Our purpose was not to determine whether life existed elsewhere in the universe, and I might add, contrary to reports, the United States Air Force has never denied the existence of extraterrestrial intelligent life. The question was not in our provenance. We have been, and I have been accused of being less than truthful with the public regarding UFO reports. I can only tell you that the charge is totally denied by the Air Force and by me. After the cessation of Project Blue Book, we were left with a residue of some 700 cases. This residue, as long as there is one, leaves a problem. And that's what we're discussing tonight. These few hundred cases included a number of puzzling sightings. These are the ones that are at once the strangest and the most credible. It is easier, though, to identify high strangeness than high credibility. UFO investigation is very fascinating. It's a fascinating, interesting subject. The problem was often all too slippery. For all the evidence we discovered and all that presented to us out of the thousands of cases, what we found was either originated here on this planet or was of natural origin outside the planet. If we take present knowledge and present technology, we must conclude that we have not received extraterrestrial visitors, at least in recent times. There is no evidence to support the visitation theory. If one is to believe he's being visited, then he has to do it strictly on faith. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel Coleman. 2 minutes for rebuttal. Start the clock for Major Keogh.
I was as bad a skeptic as you were, maybe worse, because I went around kidding my pilot friends in the Marine Corps. And that was before Admiral Farney, who was then head of Navy guided missiles, showed me 200 or more reports by Navy, Marine Corps pilots, and carrier officers. And some of them were close encounters, daylight, showing exactly what was described by Twining. Incidentally, Colonel, you did not mention the three evaluations. I have one of those, a photostat of one of them with me. I'll show it to you later if you haven't seen it. I also saw the 1948 top secret evaluation. And you mentioned that when we met at Cape Kennedy. But anyway, I've seen that. And Fournay also. And his was secret and is still being kept as an unfinished document. So I don't know why you evade those particular documents, because those are the foundation. Now, in 20 years, you say there's been no evidence at all. Well, perhaps when we get to a general exchange here, I can bring up some cases I would like to have you mention. You say there were only 700 cases. Dr. Hynek stated there were over 3,000 when he left the Air Force that were completely unexplained. Nobody ever answered that either. Now, there are quite a number of serious cases that do come to mind. The F-89 interceptor that chased an object out over Lake Superior. And it was being tracked by radar. And they saw the plane and the UFO merge on the scope, and then they vanished. There were about 5 different answers put out on that. Down at Cape Kennedy, when I asked you about that case, and you said the Air Force explanation was that it was a Canadian airliner that got off course. And I said, well, I have copies of many of your letters. In fact, a whole stack of them, originals and photocopies. And I said, well, Colonel, we looked into that, and the Canadian Airlines denied completely they were anywhere near it. And then, shortly after that, you switched to the Royal Canadian Air Force. We contacted the Chief of Staff of the Royal Canadian Air Force, and he denied there was anything to it at all, said we had nothing there.
Thank you, Major Kehoe. You'll get a chance later to argue with Colonel Coleman. In fact, in a moment, you'll be doing just that in a face-to-face confrontation when we come back from our usual break. We'll see you in a moment. Some background on our debaters. Major Donald E. Kehoe is a writer who has been writing about flying saucers for 25 years. He's made 400 appearances on television and radio, written 5 books on the subject. His latest is called Aliens from Space, The Real Story of Unidentified Flying Objects. He was named National Director. He was named Director of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomenon some years ago, a position he held until 1970. He still remains on the board of that institution. Colonel William Coleman has just retired as Chief Public Information Officer of the United States Air Force, a post he held for 5.5 years. He's a former World War II combat pilot with 15 missions. He was recalled for the Korean War into the Air Force and stayed in after that. He's written 2 books on the use of animals in medical and space research. He writes science fiction stories. He just finished a screenplay. He's working on a novel. I have a couple of questions for each of you gentlemen. You keep talking about top secret documents, Major Keogh, but you apparently have them all. They can't. One in your briefcase and the rest in your head. They can't. How can they be top secret if you have this easy access to them?
Well, there is a rule that when the 12-year period is over, documents have to be declassified unless there are strong reasons presented that they would endanger security. A number of these things were released before then to me, but they were stamped declassified. I might as well. I'm not naming anybody, but I have some very good friends in the Pentagon, including Air Force.
Well, how can you say that the U.S. Air Force is hiding something if they're declassifying the very documents that you say they're hiding?
Yeah, the Freedom of Information Committee, aided by NICAP, the organization you mentioned, kept at that for about a year, and we finally got out Projects 1 to 12, which is an Air Force, a combination of documents, and all the sightings in there are stamped either secret or confidential. Well, of course, to release them, they had to stamp and declassify. But all those years, these things were being hidden. I knew some of them, but I couldn't use them.
All right, a question or two for you, Colonel Coleman. You did not answer Major Keogh's point that General Twining of the Chief of Staffs himself, after a lengthy investigation, according to your opponent, said that
unidentified flying objects were real.
Well, this was prior to General Twining becoming Chief of Staff and later Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This was when he was head of the Air Force Logistics Command. And the project, since they handled the R&D, or Research and Development, function of the Air Force, he headed that aspect up when he was a Lieutenant General. And yes, this was in the beginning of the project, and our first concern, of course, was air defense. Therefore, there was classification early on in the program when it was Project Grudge. But later, as we began to learn more, began to look at a few thousand cases, things became declassified.
Well, now, did Twining say, or did he not say, there was a thing as unidentified flying objects from outer space?
He said we must.
By intelligence?
Yes, we must be alert to that possibility.
He didn't say they were?
No.
He said we must be alert to that possibility.
That's right.
They were real. He said they were real. I didn't say...
Well, now, unidentified flying objects are very real. They're flying objects that are unidentified and remain so.
Yeah, but he said objects that were circular, metallic, and flat on the bottom, domed on top, which is the typical explanation of Project Sign. You remember their what they came out with?
But, Donald, that was 25 years ago now. And, yes, there were a lot of... And there were mistakes made. We had the wrong people in the project.
Later on, we refined it.
No, wait a minute. Let's put it in the time. We hired Dr. Hynek later and brought him into the program as a consultant. I personally called him and assigned him to certain cases. Those that were high strangeness, high credibility, we thought, these are the cases that we had Hynek work on, and we consulted with him.
Well, there's another
now,
point.
As far as the 3,000 cases that he mentioned, there are still 700 some on. 3,000, perhaps, in Hynek's mind, but that's not an official Air Force point of view.
In December of 69, when the Air Force said that it had quit everything, closed the investigation, everything was done, there wasn't a single case that remained unexplained. Now, that was released.
That's not true. We never made such a statement.
It was all over there.
Well, I'll be glad to provide you copies of our official statement, which clearly show that we have about 730-odd cases.
Well, there are lots of cases now that the Air Force wrote, Vice President Humphrey, when he was Vice President, and said there's not a single unexplained case left. Same thing to Senator Birch Bayh, and a lot of others got that kind of letter. Now, somebody in the Department of Legislative Liaison was asleep, or something wrong there, because they're supposed to help Congress and give them the facts.
Colonel, I'm still trying to figure out one thing. Major Keogh says that you saw a metallic circular spacecraft.
Yes, I was flying in a Mitchell bomber from South Florida to a base in Mississippi. About 2 o'clock on a cloudless Sunday afternoon around 2 o'clock, I spotted a strange object at what I would guess to be around 20,000 feet and several miles in front of me and to the right. I punched my co-pilot and I says, "Do you see what I see?" And he said, "Yes, I believe it's a reflection on our windscreen." I said, "I don't think so. Start making a turn to the left. Give me about one needle width." And of course, the object moved, and I said, "Well, it's for real, and we're gaining on it." That was strange because we were at a lower altitude and a slower machine. And then the object began to descend in front of us, and so I decided then to give chase. I did go up to maximum military continuous power, and then we started down. I was cruising at that time at about 10,000 feet, and we did get very close to it, and the sighting lasted for several minutes, not a few seconds, and we did gain on it.
And this didn't change your mind regarding the...
No, I saw an object that I could not identify. I was not then in research and development. It could have been a test vehicle out of England. I doubt it, based upon knowledge that I...
Have you any idea what it was?
I have no idea, and it disappeared on me, and I had several good observers. I had Representative Lockheed Aircraft on board and a representative of the Allison Engine Division of General Motors, plus my own co-pilot, who was a flight engineer, and, of course, my own enlisted flight engineer. We had no cameras, unfortunately. Incidentally, the camera is the best tool to pursue this subject with.
Unless you get some of these people that get on the ground and hang something up on a wire and take a shot of it.
Well, we have about 4 rooms full of photographs
like
that. Chicken birders, light sheds,
and you can spot them almost immediately.
All right, but if the camera is the best evidence, what photographic evidence, if any, is there that there are objects from outer space?
Let's say that's just one aspect of evidence,
yes.
Mr. Burton. The camera is a good tool because it's so readily available to everyone.
What about the...
But are there... Let me ask you if the Air Force examined photographs of so-called...
Yes.
Flying saucers.
Yes, we have. We have two exposures of one unidentified flying object. We know it's a large object. It is dense. That is, it has mass. But we are not able to identify it under any known technology.
McMinnville?
But that doesn't mean that it came from Barnard Star or Alpha Centauri. We just have an unidentified object.
I don't know whether you're referring to the McMinnville case, but that was one where an object was said to have a man and his wife, farmer and his wife, named Trent.
This is the Menville case.
That was what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, all right. They kept quiet about it for a while. They got pictures of it, and it shows this typical UFO thing with a sort of a dome on the top. And when I first saw it, I thought it was one of those phony rigged things. And later on, several people I knew, including a man on Life magazine and others who went out there, said, I don't know, there may be something to it. Well, that is one of the cases that was given to the Colorado University for study. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Air Force paid $523,000 to the University of Colorado for...
$550,000.
Well, they jumped it up. Well, they got that without being in the record, because the copy of the contract I got... The
Let's not argue about a mere $50,000.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, this was... this thing came in, and there's a scientist there who is an expert photographer. And he went up there and spent about 2 weeks or more at checking into all the angles. And did you read his report? It's about 9 pages in the Condon document. And he ends up and said... For all intents and purposes, they saw exactly what they said. He said, everything measures. He said, the photogrammetric analysis and all that was perfect. So that's what it was in. Now, Condon rushed that thing through because it was Nixon was coming up, and they thought he was going to be elected. And he and Nixon were like that ever since that fight over his being a full communist. So they hurried the thing through so that in case he was elected, that he wouldn't be coming in and stopping
it. Well, I don't wish to participate
in Dr.
Condon's background.
The fact that he's dead, Hitler's dead too, but I couldn't detest him less. But anyway, on this photograph, in the first two sections, which are all that Condon wrote, I've been told by people who are on the project, it says in there that this picture is bought forward, but it was too fuzzy and vague for photogrammetric analysis. And here's his own specialist out there telling exactly what he did, and it was specific and sharp.
I think we'll get off the picture. I've also seen pictures of Sasquatches and sea serpents. And what you're saying, Ninja Keo, is that, am I right, there's only one picture available that anybody agrees?
No, there's one other, but it's kind of vague. And that
two.
Was a gun camera, an Air Force gun camera picture.
So you clearly don't base your belief
not on that
in this on photographs.
No, only on evidence by reliable people where it was double-checked, and there is usually some physical proof.
Well, let me say a word just about evidence. Any good prosecuting attorney will tell you that the best evidence in the world is circumstantial evidence, provided that the chain of evidence is unbroken. And throughout of all of your reports, Mr. Kehoe, I find circumstantial evidence and big, wide gaps in it. You have no evidence. The Congress asked you to submit your evidence. You have nothing to submit. So it has to be done on the basis of faith.
I sent that to McCormick. He was there, and he looked at it, and he said that he thought that it was very serious and strong, and he passed it on up and got a special project started, but then the top man in that committee died, and that killed it off. We did send it.
Donald, people are always passing away, just like you and I will someday.
I want to bring up something. You said circumstantial evidence. I will tell you this. There have been more people convicted of murder, except lately when nobody gets convicted of anything, because of evidence that wasn't as strong as some of these UFO cases. Now, I'll ask you about this one. Colonel Donald J.M. Blakeslee. He was the number one Air Corps ace in World War II. He was also a wing commander. He was over in Japan, and he was making a routine flight, and he got a call from the ground radar, and they said the pilots of two other Air Force planes had radioed in and said there was a strange object. So he climbed up, came on through the clouds, and here was this thing which had rotating beams of light. And so he tried to go near it, and it pulled away. And he started down again, and they called him and said it was back. They gave him the direction. And when he broke through that time, he cut off his lights and closed in at full power. And the thing disappeared in about 3 seconds. Now, this was an official Air Force report that was declassified out at Wright Path, sent by Ruppelt, was declassified again in Air Force Intelligence, and I was given as a detailed report of the whole thing.
Are you familiar with this, Colonel Coleman?
Just vaguely. My only comment here, that you mentioned pilots. Incidentally, you credited me with 15 combat missions. I had 155.
I'm sorry, yes.
I've
right.
seen many strange things. I wouldn't want them to change my record, so. And I wouldn't want to have to go back and make all those up. Pilots are not experts on astronomical or meteorological phenomena. I don't care how qualified they are. I've got 30-some-odd college credit hours in meteorology. I am not an expert on meteorological phenomena. I know a lot about it, but I haven't seen everything yet. Same way with astronomy. I've been an amateur astronomer. I've been looking through the glass ever since I was a small child. And yet, I have not seen all there is to see as far as the astronomical world.
There's one question I think we've got to clear up before we go to our audience, Colonel Coleman. Major Keogh specifically accused the U.S. Air Force of a cover-up, which, if it were revealed, would be a greater cover-up than the Watergate cover-up, a cover-up of enormous proportions. And I think I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I give him names and evidence there if you want it. I mean Air Force people that said it.
We would appreciate the evidence. We've been asking you for it for years, but all we get is the sighting reports. We want evidence that we can get. Let me answer the question.
I mean evidence of the cover-up.
All right. There is no cover-up. All of the material is declassified. It's open to any serious researcher or reporter that cares to go to the Air Force archives. We've isolated Blue Book so that you have ready access to it, even though it's located in a Class B vault. Now, the vault happens to be a building. We have to house it somewhere. But the serious researcher can go in there and spend months reading all the reports and let him make his own conclusions. I was the guy that opened up Blue Book files to reporters, invited them down there. I even extended the invitation to you to go out to Blue Book and help yourself. There is nothing
turned out.
Now,
they said I couldn't go.
That's not true.
The assistant to the secretary, I've got his letter, and he said it's because I said there was a cover-up.
Because I was the security review authority for the Air Force.
I'll show you.
And I had the authority to grant you in or not grant you in.
Well, now, it didn't get to you, apparently.
You've never been in there?
I haven't been out right pat in the UFO.
He says you can go in.
There's one thing.
Well, it's down to Max.
Just a minute, Mr. Burton. Mr. Burton, there's one thing that he did not answer. Didn't finish that.
I do want to finish one other point.
I'd like to finish just the Blakesley thing.
Let me finish this.
You didn't.
I wanted to tell you where we do cover up.
We've got 1 minute, then we're going to go to our audience. One minute for you.
Give me 10 seconds.
I'm going to give you. I've got a minute. This will take less than that.
Good.
Now, we have developed certain aircraft which we had to keep undercover. And I'll give you a very recent example, the A-11 SR-71. That aircraft was developed totally in secrecy. Yes, it flew, and it was spotted by people. We knew who they were that saw it because they reported it. We immediately debriefed them and had them sign a little paper.
Saying
and that was for
off.
A good reason, because we jumped right. out, technologically wise, well ahead of the Soviets, etc.
All right, you got your 10 seconds, right. or even a minute, Major Keogh, to be fair.
You intimated that Commander Blakesley, Colonel Blakesley, who had all that backing, was a number one World War II ace, was not competent. The official answer to his sighting, when I made it public, was that he was looking at the planet Jupiter. Now, that night, the planet Jupiter, and I checked this with astronomers, was 366 million miles from the Earth. The radar that was reporting this object had a range of less than 500 miles. Blakesley, this top ace, a great man and terrific, was ridiculed, and he got so annoyed at it that he said some things about people in the Air Force that I don't think you care to hear. I don't think he was talking about you, because you weren't up there then.
We will not repeat them on this program. I'm trying to get our audience into the show, because there's a lot of people out there who want to ask questions, and we're going to give them a chance to do that in a moment. We'll take a break and then be back with the great debates.
Okay, gentlemen down in the corner here. Would you stand up, sir? Yes.
But the many spaceships that people have said they saw crash Has there ever been an object left over that anybody has to see or to study?
Well, there was something at Crownsville, Maryland in 1957, which was supposed to fall into the state hospital grounds after an object was seen to explode nearby. Army intelligence came in and cordoned off the area, and they got this object and put it into some kind of container and kept taking Geiger counter checks on it. And this was sent out to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. First they denied they had it. Then they said that when they opened the container, the thing had evaporated. It was not even dust left. That was, well, one case it was proved there had been something, but it didn't turn out to be any help. Then there's a story about the crashed UFOs way down in the southwest and the small beings that were deep frozen. As far as I'm concerned, you can write that off. I investigated that for two magazines years and years ago. The two men who were putting it out were merely trying to make some dough. There may have been something, some such thing happened, but I never found any evidence of it.
Any comment, Colonel Coleman, in the first part?
The only sighting I knew in Maryland, and that we got the evidence, was a Nike that had been launched from a local site. And I can understand perhaps the United States Army wanting to keep that one quiet, because you start launching rockets near the city of Washington, D.C., and you can get people excited.
That wasn't any Nike. Besides, the chief of intelligence out there was a civilian. I don't know whether you knew him or not. Anyway, he told me that he would check into it, and he did, and he called back and said, yes, it was here, but exactly.
Gentlemen behind you, you stand up.
Major Keogh, it only took NASA, I believe, three flights to land on the moon. I was wondering, with all these hundreds of flights of UFOs, why they haven't landed and started playing golf here or something along those lines.
Because of my honorable opponent's objection to facts and evidence here, I'm going to say merely that this is a report. There was a report that one landed out in Ohio and left a scorched circle on the ground. Over in Australia, a senior pilot on an airline and some other people said the same thing, and there have been dozens and dozens of those reports. I know that there are cases that were to the Air Force, and two, three of them, they said they had no answer for it. Well, apparently, one of these things touched down, or was about to touch down, and jets came in. It was a routine thing. I mean, they scrambled or anything like that happened. And it got off. But the only one that you might consider seriously is down in Argentina. A UFO was reported to have landed near a ranch house. And one of the members of the family reported that this figure that came out looked like a robot. And that when it discovered that she had seen him, I got back in, off it went. Well, ordinarily, you'd throw that out the window. But the Argentine government did a long investigation and officially accepted it as true.
Colonel Coleman, you want to comment?
Well, I'm not sure. Was this Argentina or Brazil?
Argentina.
I'm not acquainted with that particular
Well, there were several in Brazil,
sighting.
Too, but that's
yes.
only detail.
Well, we analyzed. We had evidence from Brazil, and that checked out to be a very high grade of man-made magnesium.
Oh, I
manganese.
Know that. I know that case. Yeah,
gentlemen in the checkered jacket, would you stand up, sir?
Yes, Colonel Coleman.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned photographic evidence. We had photographs taken of a UFO in the Rocky Mountains. There's one taken by a French military pilot over France. The official photographs released by the president of Brazil. And you say you've chased a UFO. Is there UFOs or are there no UFOs?
Certainly there are unidentified flying objects.
Thank you.
And that's exactly what they are, unidentified. But that doesn't mean they come from Barnard Star, Alpha Centauri. You see, you got to look at it this way. How long would it take, for instance, if they're coming from Andromeda? Even with the time dilation theory, a round trip from here to Andromeda and back is still going to take, if you can travel at warp velocities, it's going to take 3,000 Earth years or longer. Ship time will be much less than that, if you believe in the time dilation theory. So
well,
it's okay for them.
I'm just interested in down here on Earth.
Let me point out the debate is that they come from outer space. Note that there are not a lot of things flying up in the air we can't identify. There are rocks and there are rockets and there's meteors and everything else. The argument is about where they come from.
Question over here. Gentleman with the beard.
Major Keogh, you forward in your evidence two photographs only. We heard from the audience here there have been several more. It is also possible to photograph a mirage. Would it not be a reasonable conjecture to say as all the things that you've mentioned, being spherical shapes or disc shape with a dome, and the press releases have always been the same, and people coming off are robot in type or similar to ourselves. When, for instance, if you go out to the warmer planets, we as carbonaceous-based people could not exist, but a silicon man could. He need not look like we do.
That's right.
So wouldn't it not be unreasonable to expect that these photographs are, in fact, mirages?
Well, I didn't say there weren't more photographs. Now, there was some up in the northwest. There was a big argument about there were supposed to be reflections off of two jets' wings that flew in over there, and then that was thrown out and back and forth. But the question about the types of beings, that's one of the big points. If the thing is that serious, we ought to know what kind of beings are involved. In case they do land here, whether if they're humanoid, it might not be so hard to take them. And if they weren't, it could be very frightening, like the pictures of the beings that Betty and Barney Hill are supposed to have seen. I don't know whether you know about that, but they're very
frightening. Well, wait a minute. The question was, could these pictures not be pictures of mirages? You have seen mirages in the air.
Well, I've seen mirages, yes. I've seen one on the ground and sea and in the air, too.
That was
it wouldn't be that kind. I didn't understand it like that. Maybe it's that.
Well, may I say a word about mirages? There are two types, superior and inferior. The inferior mirages are when you see a lake, and the superior mirages are like when you see a whole building floating up in the air. We have outstanding photographs, particularly of superior mirages, that are quite misleading. And if you really want to see some mirages, get up to the Northern Circle, and it'll scare the daylights out of you.
Gentlemen up here in the turtleneck sweater, would you stand up, please, sir? That's right.
If you don't believe that these are UFOs from outer space, where do you believe they come from? What is your theory about it?
If you're addressing the question. If I don't believe
that they are, in fact, from outer space, where do you believe they are from?
Well,
if you don't believe they're from outer space, where do they come from, in your belief?
Okay, unidentified flying objects, let's go back again. It's an object that's flying that remains unidentified. There are so many different answers. Mirages, astronomical phenomena, meteorological phenomena, decayed satellites, meteorites, bolides, fireballs, sun dogs, dust devils, and you could go on and on. There are so many other possibilities. I'm not saying that they don't exist. As I said in the beginning, you cannot prove a negative proposition.
But what is your private theory?
My private theory is that I would hope there is extraterrestrial life. I would hate to have the responsibility for this whole universe. And I would hope you would share that with me. But we have no evidence. None, not an iota. I would have to do it on the basis of faith. And frankly, I'm a deeply religious man, and I prefer to put all of my faith in a living God.
What would you like to see as evidence? If you say, okay, now, if this event happened,
well,
now I'd be... I'd
that's
now be
another question. What would satisfy, say, the scientific community? And that's where this investigation really ought to be.
Colonel, I'm going to allow you to put that out as part of your summing up, because we must go to the summing up in order the audience can vote. We'll do that in a moment. First, these messages. Each of our debaters has exactly 45 seconds to sum up his points, and we start with Major Kehoe, 45.
You did not mention the JANF 146 secrecy order, which was put out by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and this specifically invokes the espionage law with penalties of up to 5 years in prison and $10,000 fine, or both, for revealing a UFO report that is sent over the CIRVIS transmission system. I have a photocopy of it, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff have agreed that is correct. The AIAA, which is the largest aerospace organization in the world, American Institute of Astronautics and Aeronautics, has rejected the Connally report. They reject the Air Force report, and they call for a new, full, unbiased investigation, free of military control. Now, if all of the thousands of witnesses that we have, pilots and others, are wrong, God's sake...
Thank you, Mary Trujillo.
Okay, I'll tell you...
45 seconds for Colonel Comer.
The JANF document is based upon the United States Code. This is a document that says all pilots, ship captains, and others in official status will report any unidentified object, whether it's on the land, on or under the sea, or in the air. And that is a law that's been on the books a long, long time and was here before the flying saucer came. My sum up is this.
Present your evidence. There is none. Photographs will not do alone. We must have evidence. Otherwise, you're going to have to accept this proposition on faith and faith alone.
I don't have faith.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're now going to let the audience vote. At the beginning of the program, 190 people were on Major Keogh's side in the affirmative, and 32 were for the negative. 30 people have moved over to the negative. So it is now 160 to 62 rather than 190 to 32. So we award the debate to Colonel Coleman. Congratulations, Colonel. Major Keogh. Time to go. We'll be back once again next week when we'll stage the great debate. I hope you'll be watching. See you then.
Tonight's subject was resolved that unidentified flying objects from outer space exist. Our debaters were Major Donald Keogh for the affirmative and Colonel William Coleman for the negative. Guests on the Great Debate stay at the Hyatt Regency, Toronto's most exciting hotel. I'm Bernard Cowan. If you are in Toronto on a Thursday evening and would like tickets to the Great Debate, write to the Great Debate, Box 6666, Don Mills Post Office, Ontario.